home for every Notre Dame football game.
Goodbye, Brandon Wimbush. 58 yards. Sanders is pulling away with every stride, and he goes in. 92 yards.
Michiana's sports leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT, presents.
Race is on. Josh Adams wins it. Touchdown, Notre Dame. 98 yards. 76-yard touchdown play to Equanimeous St. Brown.
Budweiser's weekday sports beat.
Faulkner breaks one tackle down the near sideline, gets a block, cuts back inside. Touchdown, Faulkner and Mishawaka.
York now in front, Ogilvy. They score! They score! Notre Dame to the Frozen Four! Gets up and in by Rex Kluger with 1.5 seconds left. Notre Dame leads.
Here are your hosts, Sean Stiers and Eric Hansen.
Had a very exciting night, Budweiser's weekday sports beat on Michiana Sports Leader 96.1 FM. WSBT, Notre Dame head coach Brian Kelly is in studio with us, and he will be taking your calls all hour long. 282-2696 is the phone number, 282-2696. Along with Notre Dame football insider Eric Hansen, I am Sean Stiers. Darren Pritchett is in Lansing getting ready for South Bend Cubs baseball tonight. That game, I'll go ahead and tell you up front, will be on Z94.3.com. So if you're looking for South Bend Cubs baseball in about 2 hours, that'll be on Z94.3 instead of 96.1 FM WSBT tonight. Eric, hiding over there in the corner. Brian Kelly, I've got line of sight with the head coach, so I guess that's the most important thing right now.
And yeah, the other important thing is to give the area code 574.
Oh, good point. Thank you very much, Eric. 574-282-2696 in case you are out of town. How you doing tonight, Coach?
I'm doing great. I'm glad you gave the 574 area code because I thought I was on for 10 minutes. Now it's an hour. Okay, I'll go an hour.
And we've already... We don't have the call set up and ready to go yet, but we've got somebody calling from Tulsa. So it is a good thing that we gave the area code.
Perfect. That's great.
All right.
And no relationship advice. You can ask football questions, though.
Well, you won't have to ask me. I've got a beautiful wife, so I'm in good shape.
Call Eric for the relationship advice.
I actually got that on my live chat yesterday. Somebody wanted to know how to get out of going to his fiance's grandma's wake for his fantasy football draft. He said, how can I get out of that? And I said, well, you can't unless you want to be single.
Don't they have iPhones for that?
There you go.
There's got to be an app for that.
That's a good point. Yeah. I think there should be. Well, do we want to take a call? Eric, do you want to start off?
I'll do a real quick question, then we'll go to the calls. Just curious if there's any update on Alohi Gilman. I know we've been in a holding pattern with him for a long time.
Yeah, so we checked with the NCAA, wanting to get the latest. And what we were told as of yesterday is that the Naval Academy has until Monday of next week to file their final brief relative to whether they have an objection to the one-time transfer waiver. They may have already filed it, but that expires on Monday. So we don't know, nor can we expect to hear anything until after Monday. And then let's just assume that it's already in. We get to Monday, 24, 48 hours, because the NCAA knows that they need to act expeditiously. So I think we're probably in mid next week where we should know something on Alohi.
And just a quick follow, is he the guy that you saw on film in your practices? Is he the guy that you saw in live in the Navy game last year?
Yeah, I mean, he's got really good ball skills, comes downhill and can support the run very well. So he's not a one-dimensional player. And that's what we saw on film, a guy that can, we saw him make a very good open field tackle on Josh Adams, as well as play the ball in the air. And he has continued to do that in preseason camp.
Notre Dame head football coach Brian Kelly in studio with us all hour long. He'll be here until 6 o'clock taking your calls. Chris is on the line anxiously waiting to ask Coach Kelly a call. How you doing? Chris from Tulsa, thanks for waiting.
Hey, thank you very much for taking my call.
You've got a question about the recruiting process for quarterbacks. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, Coach, I just wanted to ask, when it comes to recruiting the quarterback position, is there a certain process that you take for seeing these guys? Or because being a quarterback at Notre Dame is extremely polarizing. You know, they're on air all the time. They're getting questions all the time. So I'm just wondering if there's a certain process to tell which kind of young men can handle that kind of that pressure.
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, to look at it just from an evaluation standpoint, I think that, you know, we could probably put, you know, 10 guys in a room and all come with a consensus as to who's the best-looking quarterback on film. But you have to drill much deeper than that, because they've got to have the character traits of being able to handle what I consider the bright lights of Broadway. This is an on-Broadway show when you come to play quarterback at Notre Dame, and that's the ability to handle the ups and downs of the position. And sometimes getting way too much praise for being the quarterback, and sometimes way too much of the negativity when things don't go your way. So we're really looking for kids that have, you know, a strong confidence level in their ability. Guys that, from a trait standpoint, that on a day-to-day basis are laser focused and can go out and do their job and are not distracted. They can't be looking at the scoreboard, if you will. If they can't be looking in the stands. They can't be reading the newspaper and get distracted. So we have to look at those traits, and that requires us to get in the schools, talk to other coaches, talk to other people that have watched this kid play before we pull the trigger on a quarterback.
Okay. All right, thanks, Chris. Right. Thanks for the call.
Thank you very much. Good luck this season.
Appreciate it. Thanks for the call.
All right, that was Chris from Tulsa. Thanks for the call, Chris. 574-282-2696 is the number. Figure I should say it a little slower. I say it too fast sometimes. So 574-282-2696. And now we're going to go to the other side of the country to Jim from Vermont, who has a question about the psyche of the players for the Temple game. How you doing, Jim?
Doing well, and thank you very much for taking my call. Coach, first of all, best of luck this season. A question I had for you is, knowing the psychology of players and how the outcome of each game affects the next game and so on, if you had a choice, what's best for the team for the Temple game going into Georgia? What kind of game would you like to see in terms of, I'm sure you don't want a blowout, and I'm sure you don't want a squeaker, but what kind of game against Temple would set your guys up best to be ready mentally and psychologically for Georgia?
I really think it's about playing to our traits. And for our football team to have success this year, we have to do the little things right. And look, I think there's enough talent on our football team, and there probably has been. In most of the years that I've been the head football coach here. But it always comes down to the little things. The really good football teams that we've had have really paid attention to those things. And whether it's been a smart football team that has done the little things right in close games to find ways to win, or has not been distracted either off the field or on the field, or, as I mentioned to you earlier, a great attention to detail. If our football team goes into Temple and exhibits those kinds of traits, regardless of what the score is, whether we win by 10 or 50, if those traits are displayed the right way, I think that puts us in a great mindset moving forward going into the Georgia game.
Well, that sounds good. Well, again, thank you for taking the call, Coach. And, again, best of luck this year.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call, Jim. And, again, thanks for the call, Jim. And, again, the phone number is 574-282-2696. We have a couple other callers standing by, and we will go right now to Justin in Elkhart, who looks like he has a recruiting question as it pertains to Indiana players. How we doing there,
Hello.
Justin?
Hello, Coach. I would just like to say a good luck this football season, and I hope you guys have a good football season and make it to a bowl game this year. And my question is, do you guys have any football players on the teams this year that are going to be starting that are from Indiana that played high school football in Indiana, or do you have any guys that could possibly be playing, or any guys coming up through the ranks that could be playing here in the near future from Indiana? And also, what do you think about the level of talent of high school football players in Indiana as opposed to the rest of the country? And I will hang up and listen to your answer.
Well, you know, I would even bring it even closer. You know, Michiana has got players that can play at Notre Dame. And you know, we're recruiting this Michiana area to find players that can play at Notre Dame. You know, I think if you look at our roster in itself, we've got six players out of the state of Indiana. Fort Wayne's been really good to us. I mean, you know, Tyler Eifert, pretty good player in the NFL. Of course, we're all excited about the anticipated return of Jalen Smith in the NFL coming off of the injury that he had. But I think a number of guys out of Indianapolis, Asmar Bilal is a young man out of Indianapolis, Ben Davis High School, that you're going to see a lot this year. But Drew Tranquil, I think out of Fort Wayne, is a guy that we've recruited that I think is going to have an outstanding year for us. So Indiana's been really good to us. I think when you look at what we've done in recruiting, I think we've been really good within 600 miles of campus and have pulled the guys that make sense relative to fit for us. And I think we've done really well from that perspective. And then we've gone across the country to find other players that certainly have fit at Notre Dame. But I think the Michiana area this year is going to prove to have some really good players. And quite frankly, Indiana has been really good to us.
574-282-2696 is the phone number. Brian Kelly taking your calls this hour. I wanted to, since you brought up the since the question about the Indiana players, you brought up Jalen Smith. He is going to play the first time tomorrow since that Fiesta Bowl. And I know you knew that he would work hard to get back, but realistically, after seeing that injury and finding out what exactly that injury was, did you think that he had much of a shot to be able to play again?
Well, I had inside information. We knew the doctor who did the surgery, who was the same doctor that did Jarrett Grace's surgery, one of the surgeons from the Cowboys. So it doesn't surprise you that the Cowboys took him, because you know, he certainly did the surgery and knew that the type of injury that it was, that the nerve was going to regenerate. It was going to take time. And who in the NFL has time on their hands other than maybe a guy like Jerry Jones?
Right.
And the only other guy that called me was Bill Belichick. So there were two people that had time and would invest in a great player like Jalen. And not just a great player, but a great kid. What made this happen was certainly his mental approach to it.
Right.
He took the positive side in everything that he was going to get through this, and that's why we're going to see him play Saturday and play probably at a very high level.
Everything that I've seen on the video says it's going to be pretty high, so I think we're all looking forward to that tomorrow.
Looking for that slap of the ground after a big play.
That's right.
Sean, a quick follow-up from me on Justin's question. I've got a chart that actually has where the players have come from during your time. And not including the current recruiting cycle, Indiana is fifth on the list, fifth most recruits with 13, behind only Florida, Ohio, California, and Illinois. And there's, Coach Kelly can't mention it, Justin, but there's a running back in the current class that's from Indianapolis.
That's pretty good. I think that says a lot about, you know, recognizing that, number one, you know, for Notre Dame, if there is a player in this area, we should be on him. And if he fits Notre Dame, we need to get him, and we need to get him to play here at Notre Dame.
Absolutely. All right, we've got Jack from Erie, Pennsylvania. He has been patiently standing by, and it looks like Jack has a question about Brandon Wimbush and running the football. How you doing, Jack?
Good. Thanks for taking the call, and hello, Coach. But real quick, I just want to say that we're thrilled that you got Bo Bauer, went to my high school, and we're really excited. He's a hell of a linebacker, and he's going to be a great player, so I'm excited about that. But my question is that, given, you know, last year you ran Kaiser a lot, given that you had an experienced backup behind him. I'm wondering if you would be hesitant maybe to run Wimbush more with the straight quarterback runs, given the lack of experience this year because everyone left like behind him. Will you maybe not run as much option given, you know, the potential for injury there?
You know, I think the nature of the offense and the way it's crafted this year with three running backs, you know, puts us in a different light than it did maybe last year where, you know, we featured an offense that really wanted to look at maybe a throwing the football down the field and, you know, featuring some wide receivers and, you know, a big-bodied quarterback. And having two of them. This year, it is a little bit different from that perspective. We want to get the ball in the hands of where we consider three running backs that can make plays for us. I don't know that we go into the game trying to protect Brandon, but it's not our first call to think about getting the ball to Brandon Wimbush in a running situation. Our first thought is to really go to the strength of our offense. And we've got depth at tight end. We've got very capable wide receivers. And like I said, an outstanding offensive line. So Brandon Wimbush doesn't come to the top of the list when we're talking about running the football. He's going to naturally run the football, but I don't think that we have to force it this year in this offense.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call, Jack. I think we'll take one more, and then we'll take our first time out. Brian Kelly is taking your calls this hour on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat, 96.1 FM, WSBT. And our next man patiently standing by is Chris from Syracuse. And he has another surprise recruiting question, and this one is about quarterback. How you doing, Chris?
Good. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate all you do, Coach Kelly. Looking forward to a great season.
Same here.
Would like to expound a little bit on when you do go recruit quarterbacks, do you look at the team that you project that you're going to have in the future as far as what type of quarterback you're looking for? I guess what I'm saying is, do you project looking for a pro set quarterback or more of an option quarterback, depending on the team that you think you'll have?
Yeah, I don't think the team that we're going to have is really comes into the thought process. The quarterback himself, his skills can vary a bit. It doesn't necessarily have to be a quarterback that is a dual threat. I think that term is used quite a bit in recruiting evaluations. He could be a pro-style quarterback, provided he has enough mobility and escapability at the quarterback position. But as I said to an earlier caller, after he passes the eye test relative to his ability to throw the football and the athletic traits, he's got to have those other intangibles. He's got to have the characteristic traits. He's got to have that ability to handle the moment at a Notre Dame. He's got to be able to have that leadership trait that all great quarterbacks have to have. So it's much more than just maybe whether he's a pro-style quarterback or a dual threat. It's about those other traits that we're looking for, so much more than projecting what the other players around him are going to look like.
No, that makes great sense. We talk a lot of culture in my line of business, and we hire on cultural traits, and we can teach the other parts. So, great answer. I appreciate what you do, and you all have a great night. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris. All right. So, we'll take our first time out. Jason is patiently standing by, and we'll get him. He'll be first up after we take this time out. Brian Kelly, the Notre Dame head football coach, taking your calls. He's in studio with us for another 35 minutes here on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat, 96.1 FM, WSBT. We're brought to you by Legacy Heating and Air and by Budweiser. Great times are waiting. Grab some Buds. We'll take a time out, and then Brian Kelly will take more calls tonight.
Your home for every Notre Dame football game is also your home for Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat, Michiana's sports leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT.
Notre Dame football insider Eric Hansen, Sean Stiers, and of course, Head football coach Brian Kelly in studio taking your calls all hour long. We have 31 more minutes of Budweiser's weekday sports beat.
Can we go 2 hours? I was
I thought it was 10 minutes. We might as well go 3 hours.
Just let the thing rip?
No, we've got high school football tonight, don't we?
We do have high school football.
We do.
Sean's
We got to get to high school football. I run straight from here to Steele Stadium. So
absolutely.
Literally run. Making me jog over there tonight. Brian Kelly taking your questions here tonight, and Jason has hopefully been patiently standing by. He has been standing by, though, and he has a pretty detailed recruiting question. Go ahead, Jason.
In my call, we talk a lot about recruiting players to play on the field, but I'm curious to know how you have recruited for your coaching staff. These guys are obviously play incredibly pivotal roles in the success of the team, but don't know too much about your thought process for identifying talent to for your staff.
Are you referring to recruiting a particular position for a position coach? Is that your question?
Well, like Coach Elko and the other position, you know, OC and DC, how have you identified who the right people are to come in and lead those groups and those functions for the team?
Yeah, so, you know, clearly, you know, those decisions are ones that I made back in January. And, you know, when we're talking about leadership positions and recruiting, part of the process of vetting out the hiring is they have to understand through the fit evaluation, you know, what we're looking for at Notre Dame. It's not just about the talent. It's about who can fit at Notre Dame and who can do well in our university setting. So each coach that I hire, each coach that I bring on board has to clearly understand who fits at Notre Dame. That's number one. And then they have to know, you know, based upon their personalities, what kind of players will grow under their teaching and under their methods. For example, Mike Elko is a teacher of the fundamentals. And so when he's sitting down with a young man, he's going to be talking about their attention to detail and understanding the fundamentals in the recruiting process. When it comes to Chip Long, he wants somebody that is passionate and loves to play the game. If you're falling asleep in a meeting with Chip Long about offense, you probably are not a great fit for coaching with and being at Notre Dame under Chip. So each coach has a personality that fits, and then they have to understand the kind of players that we need to bring to Notre Dame. So it works both ways, if you know what I mean.
Gotcha. Thank you. And in terms of the players seem to, the new coaches are really resonating with the players, and we read a lot about how they're very impressed with and appreciating the new staff. I'm curious, is it difficult for the guys that left the staff to hear that? And how do you maintain relationships, or do you, with the folks that moved on?
Well, some of it, you know, always naturally occurs with change. And most, all the coaches that are left are highly professional coaches that are, you know, committed to, you know, this profession and teaching and really are back at, you know, their next job and are working and doing great things wherever they are. So, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with just the newness of it. And then, you know, clearly when there's some change, you're going to see new personalities that may fit better with the players. And again, I think at the end of the day, in this profession, you're going to get a little bit of that. And the professionalism always kind of rises to the top in these kinds of occasions.
Got it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call, Jason. That was Jason from Los Angeles. And now it looks like we are going to Oklahoma City. Noah is standing by and has a question for Brian Kelly.
Brian Kelly, my man. How's it going, Brian Kelly?
Very good. Sounds like you're from Oklahoma City.
Yes, sir. I want to shout out my dad, Rod Niedershue. You know, he was a big-time fan when he was younger, and I thank God he is a big-time fan of Notre Dame because Notre Dame's the greatest place on earth.
Awesome. Glad to hear that.
All I just want to say, Brian, excuse me, is that you're a big-time coach, and I can't wait to see us roll this year. All I got to say is I just can't wait. You're awesome, and thank you.
Well, thanks for calling. And if you'd like to call back in about 30 seconds, we'll take your call again. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian. Go Irish.
All right. Say, brother.
Thanks, Noah. I thought we were going to get a roll Irish or something there for a second.
Fine.
I know. All right. Very good call from Oklahoma City with Noah. And it looks like Jim from right here in town is next.
This should be my brother, too. I mean, that's just right. My other brother calling.
Got all the family standing
by. I got them all in the queue.
How you doing, Jim? Thanks for calling. Coach Kelly's
waiting. Hey, hi, Coach.
Question.
In the past, it's been said that Notre Dame is not, teams are not intimidated by coming to Notre Dame Stadium. Hopefully, they will be from now on. Do you think that the new stadium, with the, supposedly the noise will be louder, and with the video board, it's going to help a lot?
Yeah. Jim, I think that the atmosphere is going to be created by, number one, the football team we put on the field. It's going to be a physical football team. It's going to be one that I think defensively will intimidate you in terms of, you know, taking the football away. We're going to play smart, play physical football. And the brand of football, I think, will be the first intimidating factor. I think also the upgrades that we've made in the stadium with the enhancements make it for an atmosphere where people want to get into the game. Make no mistake about it. The things that have been done to that stadium will make it a quality environment for you to want to be involved in the game. You're not going to be looking at your phone. You're going to be looking at the Jumbotron. You're going to be looking at the product on the field. And I do believe that it'll create an incredible environment in that stadium. So start with the product that you put on the field and then back it up with the amenities that have been put into that stadium. I think it's going to make a great atmosphere this fall.
I do too. Thanks a lot, Coach.
You're welcome.
Brian, following up, do you sense that the acoustics are different? I know Michigan's changed when they added structures to their stadium. Same architect designed both stadiums.
Yeah, the acoustics are different. I think what we found is the wind in the stadium definitely changes things. You know, we really, quite honestly, haven't had it with the house being, you know, full. But Sunday, we could have 10, 15,000 people in there with the music and the Jumbotron, and my bet will have an exciting and vibrant atmosphere. We just had, you know, last week, our first time in the stadium, which I think you were there for the first five periods, and just having the music in there, it's just a different vibe, you know. It reminded me when I bought my first stereo in college after having, you know, a crackling FM radio compared to that first new stadium. It just changes everything. Your mood changes, and that's the kind of environment in the stadium, which I think is just going to create a great atmosphere.
The only thing that I thought was lacking is I did not hear Crazy Train over the fences.
Well, I will tell you, you know, we have a group that is quite professional in handling the music and the board. It's you're going to have to dig real deep to hear Crazy Train. though I am told that some of the music that you and I like is going to be part of the song list. So it's going to be pretty exciting.
Really quick on music. Mike Elko didn't know who Steely Dan was, and he went to the same high school as Donald Fagen.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, he might have been drawing up some defensive coverages at that time.
Okay, we'll forgive him.
574-282-2696 is the number to call. We got Bill on hold. I wanted to, since we're on the subject of the stadium, though, real quick, because the players had obviously got to get on the field for the first time, and they've been around, they've seen the locker room. What do you think that excited them the most of all the things that they saw over there?
Well, the board jumps out at you, right? I mean, that's the first thing. But I think there's a comfort level in that they know that the entire stadium, you know, we've been up in the Danke and Downs ballroom, you know, certainly in our own locker room, the North Tunnel area, the Chivarelli Lounge. I think there's just a feeling that they're there's an investment in them, in a sense, right? That they feel good about them themselves in a sense that Notre Dame football is being invested in. And that might sound trite in a sense, but, you know, when they walk around, they feel real good about themselves that, that Notre Dame football has these upgrades and they're tangible and they see them. And it changes the way they come to work every day.
All right. Bill from St. Joe, Michigan, wants to talk a little goal line offense with Brian Kelly.
Okay, let's talk goal line offense.
Okay, my question is, which I'm sure has been asked many times to Eric Hansen during the chats, and it's when you're when you're near the goal line, are you planning on having the quarterback under center or being in the shotgun?
We're going to have him under center.
Excellent, excellent. Because sometimes those guys on the edge, these quick guys on the edge, can really, really kind of catch the halfback before he gets close to the line. So that's great news, and I'm very happy about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when we look at our offense, you know, inside probably the, you know, the 5 yard line, you know, down in distance will predicate it, but we think we've got an offense of line and tight ends that we can get our quarterback under center and exert our will and pound that football in there. And, you know, there's not a lot of offensive lines that can do that. With so much RPO, you know, it makes up for these smaller offensive lines that can kind of cheat and get downfield. We think we've got an offensive line that can knock you off the ball and get back to some really physical football. So getting the quarterback under center makes sense for us to do that.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, Bill. And we'll take one more call, and then we'll take another break here. It looks like we have Josh in Cass, Michigan, wanting to talk a little bit about your quarterback, Brandon Wimbush.
Sounds good.
Well, did we lose him?
You there, Josh?
I think he might have hung up before we got him on. We will try one more time. Nope. We'll see if we can get Josh back. 574-282-2696. And we'll go ahead and take a timeout, and maybe we'll get Josh back by the time we get back from that break. Budweiser's weekday sports beat on Michiana Sports Leader 96.1 FM WSBT. Head coach Brian Kelly taking your calls for another 18 and a half minutes here before we wrap things up. Eric Hansen, Sean Stiers, let's take a timeout and then back with more Brian Kelly on Budweiser's weekday sports beat. Budweiser's weekday sports beat rolls on Michiana Sports Leader 96.1 FM WSBT. It is 5:45, and a programming note once again, don't forget that South Bend Cubs baseball is on Z94.3 FM tonight. We have Mishawaka Caveman football starting in a little bit less than 2 hours, about an hour and 45 minutes from Steel Stadium. And Darren will be along with you for hour two of Budweiser's weekday sports beat tonight. With us in studio tonight, Fighting Irish head coach Brian Kelly, taking your calls, 574-282-2696. Before we go further, though, Coach, Michael Birch, who's here with you from Media Relations, was giving me a hard time earlier for taking 20-plus minutes to get a Cowboys question. And so I just wanted to thank you first for sending DeShone Kizer to Cleveland so anyone has a reason to talk about the Browns at any point.
Well, believe me, we hear about Cleveland every day
because
Mike
right.
walks down and he's got to talk about something Cleveland. If it's not the, you know, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it's the Cleveland Cavaliers or
that's right,
the Cleveland Indians, or the, now it's the Cleveland Browns.
All of the
but
above.
I got a reason to root for the Cleveland Browns now, DeShone Kizer.
Absolutely. We'll get to see him Monday night when they play the Giants on ESPN. All right. It is more Brian Kelly in studio with us, and it looks like Kevin from, nope, we go to Joe first. Joe in Phoenix want to ask Brian Kelly a question. Go ahead, Joe. How are you?
Good. How are you guys? Hey, Coach. How's it going?
Good, Joe.
So I don't think it's any secret. Last year there was a lot of very close losses, and also kind of noticed over the last few years the struggle has been kind of putting teams away after jumping out to big leads and kind of those resulting in close losses as well. So what's kind of the plan this year to eradicate those issues?
Well, you got to look at, first of all, you know, this past year was different than maybe the 2-10 year where, you know, we had an opportunity to win a football game at Clemson, and we did make a play on the goal line. And then, you know, we were in the prevent-to-win defense against Stanford. Those were different circumstances. Those were, you know, making plays at the end of the game and maybe even tactical errors. This past season was about not having the right traits that were not developed in our football team, and that fell on my shoulders, not developing the right traits. We had won 21 games by 7 points or less in my time at Notre Dame going into last year, and then we lose 7 games. So clearly the plan was to develop those traits necessary to win those close games. You've got to have grit. You've got to have a mental toughness that we lacked, and we went to work on that back in January, installing a leadership group of captains, you know, bringing in a staff that would pay attention to detail as well as players and holding them accountable to get to the point that we are right now. So when we go into games and we have the opportunity to put opponents away, that we're going to have the focus and we're going to have those traits that you need. It doesn't come down to talent in those kinds of situations. It comes down to guys that have the right mindset. And that's the mindset that we've built with this football team. That'll be the difference. And that's what's been, you know, one of the, you know, principles of my career is to win close games. We didn't do that this year, and that was on my shoulders to get that back, and we'll get that back this year.
Thank you, Joe.
Yep.
All right, that's Joe from Phoenix. And a little bit along those lines, Coach, all the coaching changes that you made on your staff, the new strength and conditioning program, just the whole thing, and then all the points that you've kind of been hammering home with your team that you've talked about with us so far. How do you think with all that stuff, all this new stuff that's been introduced to your team, 2 weeks to go before the season opener right now, how do you feel they are with all that's been handed to them since things really got started back in the winter with the new conditioning program?
Well, you know, I had to make some changes. You know, I'm a better coach than I was last year. And that was the first thing that needed to happen, is that I had to make some changes. You know, I think I had been pretty successful as a coach over 25 years, but I had to make some changes. And the changes that I've made will make us a better football team. We brought in some staff members that I think have proven to be very valuable to the development of our football team up to this point. I'm excited about where we are right now. We got to go play some games. We got to win some games. But, you know, and I'm not going to change in a sense of not being demanding. I'm still going to be demanding. But I've never been demeaning. And that won't change. Who doesn't change? You know, I mean, who doesn't try to grow? I ask my players to grow every day, you know, so you've got to grow as a coach. And certainly last year there was feedback that I needed to take to grow as a coach. And I've done that. I've had to make some tough decisions. I've done that. But I'm excited about where we are as a football team. And, you know, I expect to win every game we play this year.
Brian, I had a quick follow. When did the plan all come together? Because, you know, when I try to figure out when you put all this down, pen to paper or whatever, I think in the same time frame, I decided to buy a Keurig machine, and that was all I could work in there. For you, though, did some of this come to you during the season, and then once you got to the end of the season, everything kind of gelled?
Well, I knew the decisions that I had made leading up to the season itself were flawed and how I put the football team together. So I had already formulated in my own mind some of the changes that I needed to make. So those were some big ones in itself. And then I think it started to come together after I had met with the football team and got some great feedback there. That probably prompted some decisions immediately. I then met with Jack Swarbrick. We sat down. We had you know, a very important meeting, which really had a lot to do with, you know, who can we go get, right? You know, what kind of support will we have to go get the best people out there. And he backed me up 100% to go get the best people out there. So, you know, there was some of it coming together during the season and as the season unfolded. I think right after the season, the feedback that I got from players and support staff, and then, you know, Jack and I sitting down and hammer out maybe the final details of it. So I don't know if there was like one day that, you know, we wrote it all up, but I think it came together over probably, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks.
Got time for at least a couple more calls. 574-282-2696 is the number to ask Brian Kelly a question before we wrap up this 5 o'clock hour on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat. Lou from Springfield has a little pep in his step, it sounds like. How we doing, Lou? Did he lose his pep?
This is Kevin.
There he is. Lou, how are you?
This is Kevin from Elvers.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
Hey, Coach, shout out to Sean and Eric for all the great stuff they bring us on ND Insider. We sure appreciate what they do for us. Coach,
thank you.
This feels like a really special year starting to brew. I've got so many questions, but you just made me think of a big one. 2012 reminds me a lot of the preseason of what we're going through right now. You had probably the greatest leader, one of the greatest leaders ever at Notre Dame, playing middle linebacker for you that year with Manti Te'o. Can you comment to anybody this year that might be that kind of leader that's going to help carry your team? I think some games that he single-handedly carried you guys, and I'll never forget the reaction in the tunnel after the USC game between him and you.
Yeah, special kid. You know, hard to think of somebody that had a presence that touched the entire team the way he did. There's somebody that cuts across both the offense and defense like nobody else, and that's probably Drew Tranquil. You know, he has an influence on the entire football team. But I think what's special about this group is that maybe they're the greatness in this leadership group is that there's a number of guys together as one make it as strong of a group as that we've had, because you've got guys like Quentin Nelson and Mike McGlinchey that came back from, you know, came back. They could have been number one draft picks and came back for a reason. They came back for Notre Dame to bring Notre Dame back to where it should be. And so that presence is very powerful and strong amongst all of our players. They're playing for Notre Dame because they set that example. And that's a big, big piece. And then you have, you know, an Austin Webster who's a walk-on captain that brings the passion of Notre Dame. So there's some really cool pieces that makes it a leadership group that can carry the weight of a Manti Te'o, but just in a different way.
Coach, there's going to be only one thing that's going to make the stadium improvements better than what they are now. You know what that is?
Win every game.
And when they put that statue of you up on the in the walkway to win any championship.
Well, that's we're here to graduate them all and win a national championship, and I think there's still some green marble left, so we'll hold out for that.
You look good in that. They won't do that one.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks. I think, Coach, the line of camp so far is the one that Eric was talking about the other day from your defensive line coach, Mike Elston, about Quentin Nelson.
Yeah.
The lie detector.
Yeah.
How are guys, is it, I don't think it's very easy to pass that lie detector test, is it?
No, I mean, there's nowhere to hide.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the one thing that defensive linemen and offensive linemen have a general respect for each other is that they don't do drills that don't get noticed. their drills are noticed by everybody because everything they do results in some kind of collision. You know, you can do ball drills and you can do backpedal drills, but when it comes to O-line and D-line, you're hitting something. And Quentin Nelson and the way he plays the game is unmatched to anything that I've seen.
Darren actually texted me and wanted to ask a question.
Yeah, let's get it in.
Well, you're going to think it's my question because it's an injury question.
No, we got it.
Alize Jones, what's his health status right now?
Well, today he was able to participate in 7-on-7 and do some things. We're just going to be really careful with him. He'll probably play Sunday, you know, maybe 12, 15 plays max. But he's fully cleared. There's no sense of putting him in a high-stress situation right now because he's in a great position. We've got 2 weeks, so we're just going to be very careful with him. We'll play him a little bit on Sunday, but he's good to go.
Do you like his attitude?
Love it. Love everything about him. Everything that he's doing has been outstanding.
Well, and the other thing, I guess we have just a little bit less than a minute, but on the subject of the defensive line, I mean, Mike Elko really excited, it sounded like, when we got to talk to him the other day. Are you as excited as he is from what you've seen?
I just think Mike Elston has done one incredible job working with those young men. They use their hands so well to get two freshmen ready, and Myron and Kurt is outstanding. And then the progress that the Hayes boys have made on the outside. And, of course, they're not brothers, but just a great job.
All right. Brian Kelly, thanks again for coming in with us tonight.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys, for having me.
Eric Hansen, Sean Stiers, Darren Pritchett will be along for Hour 2 of Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat. We appreciate all the calls tonight with head coach Brian Kelly. And, of course, the season opener is 2 weeks from tomorrow when Notre Dame takes on Temple. And you'll hear it right here on Michiana Sports Leader 96.1 FM WSBT.
Your home for every Notre Dame football game.
Goodbye, Brandon Wimbush. 58 yards. Sanders is pulling away with every stride, and he goes in. 92 yards.
Michiana's sports leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT, presents.
Race is on. Josh Adams wins it. Touchdown, Notre Dame. 98 yards. 76-yard touchdown play to Equanimeous St. Brown.
Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat.
Faulkner breaks one tackle down the near sideline, gets a block, cuts back inside, touchdown Faulkner and Mishawaka.
York now in front, Ogilvie, they score! Notre Dame to the Frozen Four! Gets up and in by Rex Kluger with 1.5 seconds left! Notre Dame leads!
And we welcome you to hour number two of Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat on Michiana Sports Leader 96.1 FM WSBT. I'm Darren Pritchett with the South Bend Cubs at Cooley Law School Stadium in Lansing, Michigan, where tonight the Cubs open up a seven-game road trip. The first four games right here in Lansing against the Lugnuts, the Midwest League affiliate of the Toronto Blue Jays. Our first pitch tonight is at 7:05. Our Jordan Automotive Group pregame show will start our coverage at 6:50, but tonight we are not on WSBT Radio. South Bend Cubs baseball can be heard tonight on our sister station, Z94.3 FM. So again, South Bend Cubs baseball tonight, Z94.3 FM at 6:50. Here on WSBT Radio, the debut of Mishawaka Caveman football against Portage. Sean Stiers will have the call tonight. Pre-game coverage will be a little earlier tonight since it's the debut of Mishawaka football tonight on WSBT. They're going to start after the news at 7 o'clock with the opening kickoff at 7:30. So if you want baseball, Z94.3 will be your home the next three Fridays for South Bend Cubs baseball. Well, Sean is making his way now to Steele Stadium after hosting the first hour of the program. Hope you are with us as Fighting Irish head football coach Brian Kelly made his annual visit to our studios. Take an hour of your phone calls. And once again, thanks to Brian, Michael Bursch, and everybody at Notre Dame for allowing Coach Kelly to come over to our studios once again. And a rare opportunity for you to ask the head football coach of the Fighting Irish a question verbally. You can always do it, of course, email on the Brian Kelly radio show, or you can go to that show in person and get a question put on a note card. But it's very special for you to have a chance to talk to the head football coach of the Fighting Irish. And there are a lot of interesting little nuggets. I'm going to recap some of those coming up in just a little bit. Also, coming up on the program this evening, we will have Dalen Hayes, audio to pass along to you. Dalen, sophomore defensive end. I think we're all expecting big things from a pass rush perspective from Dalen this year. You'll hear from him coming up in just a little bit. Also, some comments from wide receiver Cam Smith, the graduate transfer from Arizona State, who is moving up the depth chart and looks to be, you would think, a starter for this football team. Brian Kelly will talk about Cam Smith, and then Cam Smith will talk about a possible starting role and his familiarity with the Chip Long offense from his days at Arizona State. Also later on, Sean Steyers earlier today on the WSBT Morning Show had the chance to talk to Mishawaka head football coach Bart Curtis. We will play back that interview coming up in just a little bit. A couple of news and notes, then we'll get right back into Notre Dame football conversation. The Chicago Cubs victorious today at home in the opener of a series against the Toronto Blue Jays at Wrigley Field. Cubs won this afternoon 7-4. Javier Baez homered for Chicago. He knocked in three runs. Anthony Rizzo produced a two-run single. He has been hot recently. Jake Arrieta, the winning pitcher, his 13th win of the year. Boy, he's accumulated those wins very quietly. After a slow start, a lot of questions about the fastball. Is he healthy? He has been excellent the last month and a half for Joe Maddon. And a very quiet 13 wins for Arrieta. 6 3rd innings today. He allowed one run. He struck out 6 Blue Jays. Before the game, starting pitcher John Lester was placed on the disabled list with lat tightness and shoulder fatigue. It is the 10-day DL. You wonder how long Lester will be shut down. A key part of that Cubs rotation who gave up 9 runs in the second inning yesterday in a game in which the Cubs would end up losing to Cincinnati 13-11. So Lester to the disabled list, lat tightness and shoulder fatigue. Cubs win today by a score of 7-4. Across town on the south side, the White Sox have announced that pitcher Lucas Giolito, who has been pitching with AAA Charlotte, he will start one of the games for the Sox doubleheader Monday at Guaranteed Rate Field against the Minnesota Twins. At this point, the White Sox have not announced which game he will start. Now, Giolito was part of the Adam Eaton deal from Washington, considered a high-end prospect, but the last year or so, he has not been as effective as he was earlier in his minor league career. With Charlotte this year, 24 starts, Giolito's ERA, 4.48. You like the strikeouts, 134. The walks a tad bit high, 59. Now, he has pitched better in his last 5 starts, including on Wednesday, 6 scoreless innings, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. Now, with Giolito coming up to the White Sox, and I'm not sure if this is long-term or if this is just for the doubleheader. We'll have to see. Michael Kopech, who came over in the Chris Sale trade, he has been dominant at AA Birmingham with a 2.87 ERA. He is being promoted to AAA Charlotte. 119 in the 3rd innings for Kopech, 155 strikeouts, 60 walks. And over his last 5 starts, he has given up 2 total earned runs with 5 walks and 49 strikeouts. So Kopech goes from AA to AAA, Giolito from AAA to the White Sox. And oh, by the way, Eloy Jimenez is still raking at AA. He is off to an unbelievable start since he was promoted to Birmingham, last year's Midwest League Most Valuable Player. Today was announced Bo Bichette, who used to play for this Lansing team. No surprise, the MVP of the Midwest League this year. Wyatt Short, one of our bullpen guys who has been known to close out a lot of games for us this year, was named the lefty reliever on the Midwest League postseason team. So that's some baseball news and notes on this Friday. Now let's get back to Notre Dame football conversation. I was jotting down some notes during Brian Kelly's visit to our WSBT studios from the 5 o'clock hour. A couple of people on Twitter were asking that maybe didn't catch the first part of our program. Will it be available online? Yes, it will. Later tonight, you will have the regular Sports Beat show placed on our on-demand page at WSBTRadio.com. So just write down WSBTRadio.com. Go to the on-demand page later tonight. You can listen to the Brian Kelly Hour from our on-demand page. Going to start with a little quarterback conversation. And I think Brian passed along several interesting notes during the hour, including one of our callers asking about goal line situations. Notre Dame has been known for being a shotgun pistol-type team when you get around the goal line. I've always been a fan of the quarterback being under center when you get inside the five-yard line. And Coach Kelly mentioned a couple of moments ago that near the goal line, that the quarterback will be under center. Now, down and distance can predicate some changes to that philosophy. But it sounds like when Brandon Wimbush leads that team inside the five-yard line, that you will see Wimbush get under center. Also, there was a question about Brandon Wimbush and how much he is going to run the football this year. And does the fact that you have an inexperienced backup quarterback change the thinking? Now, you think back to last year, we had a totally different situation with DeShone Kizer eventually winning the starting job. Malik Zaire, with experience, was the backup. And DeShone Kizer ran the football a lot for the Fighting Irish last year. What Coach Kelly told us in the 5 o'clock hour, he doesn't have to force Brandon Wimbush to run the football. And you take a look at the current situation with this offense, he feels very comfortable with the three running backs that he has in his stable to put out on the field: Josh Adams, Dexter Williams, and Tony Jones Jr. That with the running backs that they're going to put on the field, you don't have to have Brandon Wimbush run the football as much. Now, he has some game-breaking abilities when he runs the football, and there will be a time and a place for that. But he also said that he's not going to go into a game looking to protect Brandon Wimbush because of the inexperience with Ian Book as the likely number two quarterback for this football team. So it sounds like you will see Brandon Wimbush run the football, and he is dynamic when he's got the football in his hand. But you got three really good running backs, and I've even had to change my tune. I've been the guy that would like to see Josh Adams get those 20 carries and the other guys kind of fill in. There are three really, really good backs at the top of this depth chart, and you're going to see all three used quite often. Tony Jones Jr. is a guy that has been talked about that has a little bit of Josh Adams in him, has a little bit of Dexter Williams in him, and has a pretty high ceiling as a member of this Fighting Irish football team. So, yeah, you're going to see Wimbush run the football, but Brian Kelly says he doesn't have to force it, and he will not protect him just because you have an inexperienced backup quarterback. There's going to be a time and a place. You're up 30 points in the third quarter. You don't have to run your quarterback, obviously. But when he has a chance to make a play, he's going to make a play for this football team. Darren Pritchett with you. Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat brought to you by Budweiser. Great times are waiting. Grab some Buds. And Legacy Heating and Air, we're recapping Brian Kelly's visit to our WSBT studios last hour. I did text Eric. I wanted to know about Alize Mack, the Irish tight end down in Culver. He suffered a hamstring injury. I was just curious, an update on Alize. And Brian Kelly told us that today that Alize Mack took part in 7-on-7 drills. That's excellent news. And that on Sunday during the scrimmage, which is open to the public at Notre Dame Stadium, that Alize Mack will see possibly 12 to 15 plays. They're not going to push it. No need to push it at this point with the first game a couple of weeks away. But Alize Mack looking very good. He has been cleared, part of 7-on-7 drills today. He'll get a little scrimmage time on Sunday. Eric asked a follow-up question, or maybe it was Sean, about the attitude of Alize Mack going into his junior season after missing last year due to academics. And Brian said, quote, love it, love it, love everything about him, end quote. Also, I found it very interesting when Brian was talking about leadership on this football team. He was asked a question that started out describing how important tight end, or I should say linebacker, Manti Te'o was to the 2012 Notre Dame football team. He was just one of those individuals that impacted the entire football team, not just the defensive players. There was just something about Manti that he could relate to both sides of the football. And Brian Kelly is not trying to compare anyone to Manti Te'o, but he did mention that Rover slash safety Drew Tranquil has the ability to impact players on both sides of the football. He likes the leadership group that has been put together this year, and he feels like that is going to be a strength of this football team. But I wouldn't have guessed Drew Tranquil, but it's great to hear Tranquil's a guy that right now is helping out players on both sides of the football, and players are looking to him, it sounds like, as well. Alohi Gilman, the saga that seems to just drag on and on and on. You probably remember Alohi Gilman, a safety for the United States Naval Academy last year, had 12 tackles against the Fighting Irish due to some changes with student-athletes at the academies. He wanted to transfer and actually transferred to Notre Dame. And now it's up to the NCAA to decide whether he is eligible to play this year or not. The last week or so, we've seen a lot of players across college football get their decisions. We are still waiting for the NCAA to decide on Gilman. Brian Kelly did offer an update during the 5 o'clock hour here on WSBT Radio. And he said that Navy has until Monday to file a one-time transfer waiver. Once that has been filed, and Brian did mention it could have been filed already and he doesn't know it, but Navy has until Monday to get in that paperwork, that there's a very good chance that Notre Dame will find out the middle of next week if Alohi Gilman can play for the Fighting Irish this year. And it sure seems like if Gilman is eligible, he should rise very quickly up the depth chart and be a guy that helps the secondary. Now, he has played in practice. It's one of those situations where you want to get him ready, but you don't know if he's going to be available, so you have to get everybody else ready. So who knows what Alohi would be able to do in the Temple game if he gets cleared the middle of next week. But a guy that can be a steadying influence at the safety position if he becomes eligible. We'll have to wait for the NCAA to make that final decision. Brian mentioned that he supports the run really well, made a very impressive open field tackle on Josh Adams during practice. So maybe the middle of next week we get a conclusion to whether Alohi Gilman, the sophomore, will play for the Irish this year, or will we have to wait until next year to see the transfer from the United States Naval Academy playing a game for the Fighting Irish. Also today, when Brian was asked about Notre Dame Stadium, all the changes, Crossroads Project, he feels like there's going to be a great atmosphere in Notre Dame Stadium, most of that created by the team. They've got to play well in order to have that atmosphere the way you want it, but he feels like he's got a physical football team that fans are going to enjoy watching. The defense is going to have the ability to take away the football. That adds extra energy to this particular facility at Notre Dame, and he feels like the upgrades will be something that people will want to come to Notre Dame Stadium and they will want to get into the game. They'll want to make noise. They'll want to stand up and cheer for their football team. And those people will not be yelled at, of course. But it all starts with the football team creating that atmosphere with quality play this year. It all starts September 2nd, Notre Dame hosting the Temple Owls. You can hear that game on 96.1 FM WSBT. Pre-game coverage that day at 9 a.m. Eric, Sean, and I will have Budweiser's Game Day Sports Beat live from the press box at Notre Dame Stadium from noon until 2:30. And after the game, the official Notre Dame football post-game show. One other nugget I want to get to from Brian Kelly's visit to our WSBT studios last hour. A caller asked about making plays in the end. Brian mentioned in 2015 that the football team, you know, performed pretty well in late game situations. They did not come through against Clemson. They were a player or two away from winning that game. You had the prevent yourself from winning defense against Stanford. That did not help their cause. But then you look at 2016, Brian said again, the team just didn't have the right traits in order to win some of those games. Of course, strength and conditioning is something that's been talked about a lot. That should be something that helps the fourth quarter play of this football team next year, or I should say this year now since we're closing in on the first game. But grit, mental toughness, leadership group installed, things are in place to give this team a chance to have success in a game, particularly in the fourth quarter. Again, later tonight, you'll be able to listen to Brian Kelly's visit to our studios on our on-demand page, WSBTradio.com. And if you missed it or you want to hear it again, maybe only caught part of it, WSBTradio.com. Just go to our on-demand page and check out our visit with Brian Kelly. When we come back, you'll hear from Notre Dame defensive end Dalen Hayes. We'll get to wide receiver Cam Smith. And also we'll try to sneak in Chris Sims. He is one of the new NBC analysts. He was on the Dan Patrick Show on WSBT Radio yesterday. Some of his thoughts on this year's Fighting Irish football team. I'm Darren Pritchett with the South Bend Cubs at Cooley Law School Stadium in Lansing, Michigan. Tonight's Cubs game will be on our sister station, Z94.3 FM. Pregame coverage at 6:50 and the first pitch at 7:05. More Sports Beat comes your way next on Michiana Sports Leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT. Have overcast skies in Lansing, Michigan tonight as we get set for South Bend Cubs baseball. Tonight's game on our sister station, Z94.3 FM. Sean Sires will have the call of Mishawaka Caveman football tonight at about 7:10 or so. Their pregame will get underway on 96.1 FM, WSBT. Hope you caught Brian Kelly live at our studio during the 5 o'clock hour. If you missed him, WSBTradio.com, the on-demand page, will have that hour for you later tonight. Darren Pritchett with you from the state capital of Michigan, and we're going to talk a little more Notre Dame football right now. You're going to hear from a couple of players and a former Texas quarterback who is now going to be analyzing Notre Dame football this year. Also still to come, here from Mishawaka head football coach Bart Curtis. Sean Stiers caught up with the head coach of the Cavemen earlier today. Well, Dalen Hayes, a lot expected of this sophomore. Shoulder issues in high school, had shoulder surgery, limited his ability to get on the football field as a senior. Came to Notre Dame, saw a little playing time, and now is expected to be a guy that is a huge part of the defensive end spot. To get after the quarterback, cause havoc in the backfield, looks really, really good physically. The strength and conditioning program has done him very, very well. And recently, Dalen Hayes met the Fighting Irish media, so this is a media roundtable where he's asked questions by the media. We're going to eavesdrop on that conversation in a few moments from the defensive end of the Fighting Irish, Dalen Hayes.
I think that Coach Austin is like one of the like the best thing that could have happened for the D-line, I think, for this year. Just his energy, his expectations for the D-line, and the sense of urgency that he brings, and attention to detail. Everything that we do is, you know what I'm saying, for a group that was, you know what I'm saying, a little immature and whatnot. Just kind of like bringing that maturing process along and kind of professionalizing our work each and every day. So I think that intensity, for sure.
Where do you think that the extra maturity comes from? Is that just the personality of the guys who are still here? Or?
I think that just understanding our roles and guys maturing, and second, like we've had a lot of guys, you know, obviously with our new coaching staff, our new strength coach, it's an everyday just establishing that leader, you know what I'm saying, being that vocal leader. You know, me, Trumbo, Jay Hayes, you know, Jerry, we tried to take on a more leadership role with the D-line, you know what I'm saying, just kind of enforcing, being more of enforcing a culture of being serious, being in locked in, being focused, and ultimately being a dominant force. So I think that also, I think that that's huge for a young group, a group that that definitely needed that, for sure.
Last thing for me, where does your game just individually need to go the most? Where's your biggest step you need to take?
For me, man, I try and get better in every facet of my game every day. So, I mean, you know, coach is going to put me in position. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to play my role in defense. I'm going to play at a high level. And
can you tell a difference yet in stuff that Mike Elko is doing as defense? Just kind of what exactly are those things that are just different from
you? I mean, it's a new scheme. So, I mean, you know, it's just, you know what I mean, you guys have seen it. It's just putting us in position to make plays. So, I mean, we're playing fast. We're playing confident. We know our assignment. And we're playing at a high level. So just continuing to do that every day, just taking those steps.
How much different do you see as far as the defensive line's ability to really test this offensive line? Coach Kelly's talked about how in the spring, you know, the offensive line was cleaning up more, but now there's been more of a progression as a group for you guys.
Man, that's, I mean, you go up against million-dollar left guards and left tackles. Every day is bound to bring your game along. So I'm thankful for it, man. I love going against those guys every day, man, because my thing is if I can do what I do in practice, then, you know what I'm saying, when you start playing other teams and guys who aren't Mike McGlinchey and Q, then the game should be easier. So, I mean, I'm excited, man. I love that opportunity, and I love the competition that every day you got to bring it, be the same player every day. So I think that's huge.
How much do you think that has made you better, just seeing Mike McGlinchey every day basically on the side of you?
You guys are going to see. You guys will see soon enough. But I think it's definitely brought my game along, man. I'm thankful for the opportunity, man. And I think that's really the one thing. Some guys, like, you know what I'm saying, you think about it like, wow, man, this is a first-round offensive tackle, like, dang, like, some guys might hurt, you know what I'm saying, like, get, like, discouraged, or, you know what I'm saying. I looked at it, man, since my freshman year as an opportunity, like, okay, it's not an obstacle, it's an opportunity, right? You have a guy who's really, really good at what he does. So, yeah, you got to take that, feed off of that, man, and just kind of take your game to the next level by going against him every day. So I embrace it wholeheartedly.
With your growth this point, a little more than a year, has anything challenged you that you didn't expect? You know, what's been the hardest part of the process, just growing and coming in and improving up to this point?
I think just sticking to the process in itself. I mean, it's not necessarily one specific thing. I mean, it's just staying patient with everything, and just kind of being able to introduce the world, I guess, in a large scale when the time is right. But I think just the culmination of the entire process is staying patient throughout the entire thing.
That was Dalen Hayes, sophomore defensive end for the Fighting Irish, and sitting next to him during a portion of that media session, he is in excellent shape. Physically looks ready to roll for the grind of a college football season. And will he overtake Niles Morgan as the sack leader for the Fighting Irish this year? That'd be a really good sign if that is the end result. Darren Pritchett with the South Bend Cubs in Lansing, Michigan. Cubs baseball on Z94.3 FM tonight. Pregame starts at 6:50. Now let's go to the offensive side of the football. I think he's got to be one of the top stories so far of fall camp. Cam Smith, the wide receiver, grad transfer from Arizona State. Brian Kelly was looking for a couple of wide receivers that could help this young wide receiving core, help the maturing process, and also bring in two good football players as well. And Cam came from Arizona State. A lot of injuries in his time down at Arizona State. He actually had a 41-catch season, had a touchdown catch a couple of years ago against the Fighting Irish at Sun Devil Stadium. Now he has made the move to Notre Dame to be a part of this Irish football team, and he has risen up the depth chart. In fact, he looks like a guy that is starting to solidify himself as a starter for the Fighting Irish this year. Before you hear from Cam, recently Brian Kelly offered his thoughts on Cam Smith. Is he the player that you were expecting?
Actually, he's a little bit different than what I thought. I thought he's more of a, you know, take the top off the coverage kind of guy, speed. But he's got strong hands. He physically, as you have seen his physique, he's very strong, and he's got a mature presence about himself. So he's exceeded my expectations from that standpoint. And we put a lot of volume on him as well. He has tapped out as, you know, from a volume standpoint, our highest on GPS numbers. And he's been able to maintain that with you know, the miles per hour. You know, we look at, you know, two factors, you know, the load that the player goes through during the practice, and then his max velocity. And he's able to maintain that max velocity, which tells us that, you know, he's in a good position relative to his injuries. He's not had any reoccurrence from those that have slowed him down.
Brian Kelly on grad transfer wide receiver Cam Smith, known for his blazing speed, a guy that can take the top off coverages. So is Cam with the way he's playing during fall camp, how close is he to solidifying a roster spot? Brian Kelly answered that question earlier this week.
I would say that he's been, outside of Equanimeous, he's been the second most consistent wide receiver. So he would be number two on the list. If EQ, as I think I said earlier, has got a ticket on the train, he's getting close to punching his. He's been very consistent. We're looking for that now. We're looking for the consistency. Come on, Plants. These guys are
best in their faces when they open.
They're funny. He's been consistent, and that's really what has started to separate him. Every day you know what you're going to get. You're getting the same guy from him every single day. Where the other guys, part of it's not their fault. We've been moving them around, trying to find where their best fit is. So it's not that they're necessarily less consistent as much as they're trying to gain consistency at a particular position.
Well, Cam Smith is impressing right now. And with Kevin Stepherson not getting the reps we're expecting, at least the time that we've been watching practice, Cam Smith becomes vitally important, and he is really, really solidifying himself as a key part of this Irish offense in 2017. So Cam Smith was asked the other day about possibly grabbing a starting role, and here's what the grad transfer had to say.
Man, I'm just thankful, honestly. It's a day-by-day process for me. I try not to put too many expectations into it. Just thankful for the opportunities that I have. And if I'm not in, I hope I can just contribute to the team by helping, like, Michael Young, great player coming in. I'm very impressed with him, just helping them out. So.
Now, Cam Smith, of course, played at Arizona State. Chip Long, the offensive coordinator of the Fighting Irish. Delvon Alexander, the new Irish wide receiver coach. Both were at Arizona State during a portion of Smith's time down in the desert. So this was Cam talking about having familiarity with this Chip Long Fighting Irish offense.
Big help. When I first got here, it was a refresher at first. I had to look back because they left and we had a new offense come in. So it was kind of a year off between the offenses. But after about a week, I was pretty good with the offense.
So Cam Smith, he'll be a part of the scrimmage at Notre Dame Stadium Sunday. That is a scrimmage that will be open to the public. You can check out the Fighting Irish. They're scheduled to scrimmage for about 90 minutes, 3:30 until 5 o'clock. It is free admission. You can check out the new video board, the new look inside Notre Dame Stadium. The Crossroads Project will be on display. And it's also a media day for those of us that cover the Fighting Irish, so we'll have a lot of good data for you coming up next week, including Monday, here on WSBT Radio. Final piece of audio I'd like to get to in this segment is Chris Sims, former Texas quarterback, spent a little time in the NFL, the son of former NFL quarterback and former CBS NFL analyst Phil Sims. Chris Sims is going to be a part of the NBC crew for Notre Dame home games. He's going to be a football analyst pre- and post-game. He was a guest on WSBT Radio's Dan Patrick Show yesterday, and DP asked Sims his thoughts on this year's Fighting Irish football team, and then I thought it was interesting he talked a little bit about the quarterback class that will be coming to the NFL next year. Some of the thoughts on a guy like Sam Darnold, who the Irish will face in October. This was Chris Sims from the Dan Patrick Show on WSBT Radio yesterday.
How's Notre Dame going to be this year?
I think Notre Dame is going to be a little bit better than people realize.
Well, they got to be better than last year.
No doubt about that. Yes. I mean, the coordinator changes on both sides of the ball. Pretty good up front on both sides of the ball. Got a new quarterback, Brandon Winbush, who I know a lot about. He's actually thrown with my father in Jersey. He's a Jersey guy. Went to St. Peter's Prep. I watched him play in high school, watched him play in a state championship game his senior year. So I'm excited for him. He's got a lot of talent. He really does. My thing with Notre Dame is, who are the skill guys that are going to jump out, make plays to beat the USC's and the Georgias of the world? That'll be big. Georgia week two. SEC is always a great barometer, right, to see where you are, because you got a lot of NFL players on that Georgia team, and that'll give you a good feel for how good Notre Dame really is going on to the rest of the year.
I'll give you, you can buy stock in Josh Rosen.
Yep.
Sam Darnold, the kid out of Wyoming, Josh Allen.
Right.
You could buy stock right now.
I'm buying the Josh Allen stock, and I haven't dove into these guys yet. You know, I'm on a topical level or on a level where I've watched these guys because I was evaluating other guys on their team in this past draft. All three, very good, no doubt about it. Darnold has a really funky throwing motion, so I would like to see that for another year, be really accurate and him play to the ability he did, because I haven't seen a lot of quarterbacks be real successful with that long wind-up motion he has. It's a little Tebow-esque, right? Rosen, I do think, is a natural at the position. I think he's a strong arm than people realize. But Josh Allen, I look at him the few times I saw him on film and just on TV, and I said, man, this guy looks like Troy Aikman to me, except he runs better than Troy Aikman. I really thought he was a top-tier thrower of the football and has a chance to be an NFL star one day. We'll see. I've been wrong like once or twice in my life before.
Well, you probably see why I went ahead and kept that quarterback conversation in that audio soundbite. Comparing Sam Darnold, the quarterback from USC, his throwing motion to Tim Tebow. Boy, that's not a compliment. That's not something you want your name attached to. And I'd like to see more analysis from quarterback whispers if there really is some concern about Darnold, because boy, did he throw the ball extremely well once he became the starter with the Trojans last year. So more analysis from Chris Sims coming up on NBC this year with pre- and post-game work that he will do on NBC. Well, we are going to at least wrap up SportsBeat here from Lansing in just a couple of seconds, because I have to head over to Z94.3 FM. Chris Hagstrom and I are going to have the call of tonight's South Bend Cubs game at Lansing on our sister station, Z94.3 FM. Pre-game coverage in about 5 minutes. First pitch at 7:05 here on WSBT Radio. It'll be Mishawaka football against Portage. Coverage will start a little after the 7 o'clock hour here on WSBT Radio. So I think Sean should be ready to go to take over in just a couple of moments. You will hear from Mishawaka head coach Bart Curtis coming up in our next segment. Sports Beat tonight brought to you by Budweiser. Great times are waiting. Grab some Buds, and by Legacy Heating and Air. Budweiser's weekday Sports Beat on Michiana Sports Leader 96.1 FM WSBT.
Thank you very much, Abby. I'm Sean Stiers, live at Steel Stadium in Mishawaka. We are about 40 minutes away from kickoff on our maiden voyage of Mishawaka football on Michiana Sports Leader 96.1 FM WSBT. Brian Miller will be along with us a little after 7 o'clock here, and Darren Pritchett getting ready to jump over to Z94.3 FM for the Jordan Automotive Group pregame show for South Bend Cubs baseball tonight. And if you're tuning in for Cubs baseball, that's where you will find it, Z94.3 FM. That's where South Bend Cubs baseball will be tonight for the next couple of Fridays, with the beginning of Mishawaka football right here on Michiana Sports Leader 96.1 FM WSBT. Again, Mishawaka and Portage kicking off the 2017 season. Had the chance to talk to Mishawaka head coach Bart Curtis earlier today and talk to him about the excitement of getting ready for his 10th season as head coach of the Mishawaka Cavemen, where we will have all the action right here on WSBT. And we'll let you hear that conversation right now on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat. Coach, thanks for joining us, first of all.
Hey, you bet. Thanks for having us, and we are very excited as a football program to be able to partner with WSBT and be in this thing together throughout the season.
We're very excited as well. You guys obviously have put together a long-standing program, a tradition of excellence at Mishawaka and with Mishawaka football. You're in your 10th season there as head coach at Mishawaka. When a new season starts, how excited do you get just for the start of any season?
Well, you know, it's always fun. I've done this a long time, and but you still get on game day, particularly. I walked to school this morning. I live three blocks, and the sun was just starting to peek up a little bit, and as I walked past the stadium, and boy, what a sight! And that just starts your day off perfectly. And there's nothing like game day at Mishawaka High School.
That's absolutely right. And you've got some new changes there at the stadium as well, between the light and new field, new turf, new grass turf, I should say. So a lot of just exciting things going on.
Yeah, there are. You know, at this point, any grass would be considered a change. But we actually have this prescription. It's not artificial turf. It kind of looks like it. Michigan State has the same turf. You know, they dug down in the spring. They laid drainage tiles. They put a sand-based body in there and then hydro-seed it. And, boy, it's really nice. We were on it last night.
You know, and a big move for you guys this year, Class 4A. What do you think of that move?
Well, you know, we were actually 4A the last 2 years, but chose to play up to 5A. And this time we decided, you know, wherever we land, and we will not try to outsmart the IHSA or ourselves.
Let's talk about your team a little bit. You lose 8 offensive starters and 9 defensive starters from last year's team.
I mean, you
had a good run. You won a sectional championship and everything, but how do you go about replacing wholesale changes like that?
You do it one brick at a time. And, you know, we actually lost 10 defensive starters. Noah Staten's the only returner. Of course, Alex Faulkner, Isaiah Evans, and Cameron Kalenbach are back on offense, but we just do it one brick at a time. We realize that it's not a 100-meter dash. It's a long season. We're going to always look for improvement. We want to be better than we ought to be at the end of each week. So we've got the kids that have bought into the way we do things. We have a group of assistant coaches that understand how things work, and you know, we'll just keep plugging away one brick at a time.
When you're talking about buying into the way you do things, you guys do so much together in the off season, not just conditioning and things, but you go to a camp together, you spend a week down there, you have dinners and community service. How important is that team building aspect of things to you?
You know, I think it's vital. I think it's obviously it doesn't do anything about blocking and tackling and things like that. But what it does do, it creates a culture of trust. It creates a culture of togetherness. And, you know, we're in charge of that. We're in charge of our own culture. And the kids understand that. And when you get a group of kids that thoroughly like each other and thoroughly enjoy being together and are more worried about their brothers than they are themselves, then you got something special.
Got a new quarterback this year, Sam Shively. What can you tell us about him?
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm excited to watch him operate tonight. He's kind of a gunslinger. He's going to drive me crazy at times, and then there are going to be other times that I'm going to look out there and I'm going to say, wow, that was pretty special. So, you know, he's going to make his mistakes. Here's the thing I really like about him. He's not scared to make a mistake. He's going to go out there and let it rip and let it hang loose and shuffle them cards, and he'll be out there dealing them.
I mean, ultimately, that's about all you can ask for from your quarterback, right? Some fearlessness?
It is. We've had all sizes, shapes, kinds of quarterbacks, you know, and the ones that are concerned about making a mistake oftentimes don't make mistakes, but then they don't make the big plays. The ones that aren't scared to make a mistake often make them, but they often make many big plays too. So,
sure.
You know, as we go, it's you know, we'll reel him in when we need to, and we'll turn him loose when we need to. But he'll do a great job for us.
What about the defense? Like you said, 10 guys that you lose over there. Who are some of the leaders that you've got on that side of the ball?
Well, I think Noah Staten has to be a leader at linebacker. I think he's a kid that started out of our 13 games last year. He started eight or nine of them. He started the year out a junior varsity player and then earned his spot. We look for him to be a big-time vocal leader. You know, Aaron LaCloyce, Matthew Atkinson, two defensive backs. Aaron was a split end last year. Matthew transferred in from Centennial High School in Tennessee. His dad was a player here in the late 80s and early 90s, Chris Atkinson, and they moved back to the area, and we're glad to have him. We think he'll be a leader. C.J. Fisher, who's our safety, really smart kid. He needs to be a leader for us on defense. So we've got some new kids. We've got some young kids, but we expect the same thing out of them that we expect out of every defense.